We'd like to welcome each one to the gospel meeting this evening. We thank you for accepting the invitation to be here. And I wonder if we could start off this evening by singing number 32. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Number 32, perhaps we could stand. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. O'er my cleansing lips I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. O'er my pardoned lips I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. Just ask God's blessing. Our God and Father, we come before Thee this evening, and we think of the solemn responsibility we have of proclaiming the gospel message. And we thank Thee at the beginning of this meeting that we can sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh, we pray, blessed God, for any here in this room tonight who have never accepted Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, as their personal Savior, that they might come tonight, acknowledging that they are sinners, and, Lord Jesus, that they might put their trust in Thy finished work on Calvary and Thy shed blood that Thou hast shed for sinners and for each one of us. And so we pray for Thy blessing on Thy Word, not only here, but in the French Gospel and wherever blessed God, the Lord Jesus is being proclaimed as the Savior of sinners. We ask Thee for Thy blessing. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you could sing one more hymn. Number 22, The Heavenly Bridegroom Soon Will Come to claim His bride and take her home to dwell with Him on high. Trim your lamps and be ready. Maybe we'll just sing the first, second, and last verse. First, second, and last verse of 22. The heavenly bridegroom soon will come to claim his bride and take her home to dwell with him on high. Bring your lamps and be ready. Bring your lamps and be ready. This evening, it's been on my heart to speak on seven purchases that are found in the Word of God. And I'll be turning to several scriptures. And if you're here visiting and you're not too familiar with the Bible, I know many here are, just try and ask the person beside you just where to turn. I would first like to turn to the book of Jonah. It's in the Old Testament, and if you want to help some help finding it, it's Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So if we could just turn to the book of Jonah for a moment. I intend to speak on several stories, but I'm not going to speak in detail about them. And so the first one here is Jonah, and we'll read from the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, here we have the first purchase that I want to speak about. Perhaps we could call it a useless purchase. Jonah was given a very solemn responsibility. He was to go to the very largest city in the world at that time, the city of Nineveh, and he had a message. And the message was, Cry against this city, for their wickedness is come up before me. Well, that was a very solemn responsibility. And I want to say at the beginning of this meeting that I have a very solemn responsibility. Because God is looking down here in this world, And he sees the wickedness increasing day by day. All we have to do is take the newspaper or open the internet or whatever, and we can easily see that violence and corruption are increasing every day. God's judgment is going to fall on this world. But how wonderful God has made for each one of us a way of escape. And Jonah here, he had a similar responsibility, but you know, he didn't want to go. And so we find here that he purchased a ticket, not just to go for a maritime trip, but he purchased the ticket to get away from the presence of God. And you know, I feel that there are many people today who are trying to do that very same thing. They're trying to escape the presence of God. One way they do it is to tell themselves that there is no God. Or perhaps they invent some so-called scientific theory of evolution that more or less explains away the existence of God. But you know, no matter what we do, we cannot escape God's presence. You know, there's some verses David says in the book of the Psalms. He says, "Whither shall I go to flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there." Another verse says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And so, dear friend, tonight, you cannot escape God's presence. He's right here in this room. He's over in Istanbul. He's in Israel. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. You cannot escape from Him. It says the eyes of the Lord are, all things are naked and open unto Him with whom we have to do. So we cannot escape. But you know, Jonah here, he thought he could escape. And so we find here that he goes down to Joppa. You know, I understand the word Joppa means pleasant. And I suppose he thought he could get down there and get on a boat and he could literally escape from the presence of God. And so he got on this boat hoping that everything would turn out all right. But you know, where did he end up? He ended up in a storm in the middle of the sea. That's where he ended up. And you know, sometimes when we try to get away from the presence of the Lord, God has to bring some serious circumstance into our life that we wake up and realize that we cannot go against Him. And Jonah here, we find that he was thrown overboard, and you know the story very well. A whale came along and he was swallowed by that whale. You know, some people think this is a fairy tale, but there are genuine cases in history, not just this story here, but others of men who have actually been swallowed by a whale and lived to tell the story. But you'll notice, after he was swallowed by this whale, look down in the second chapter, and we'll just look at one verse, verse 7. It says, "When my soul fainted in me, I remembered the Lord." So here he was, inside this belly of the whale, this mucous membrane, pitch dark, couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden, he remembered the Lord. And dear young people, tonight I want to say, the Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." You know, a good time to come to the Lord is when you're young. Because you know, as we get older, we get hardened, and we start using our minds to explain away things that God would have us to know. The best time to come is when we're young. And so we find here Jonah, he says, "My soul fainted within me when I remembered the Lord." But then it says, you know, a little further down, that he cries out, "Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And I want to say tonight, dear friend, that salvation is only of the Lord. You know, there are many religions in the world today. I suppose there's more almost yearly. But salvation is only of the Lord. And tonight we want to present to you the gospel message. And so we find here that Jonah, he made a useless purchase. It didn't do him any good traveling on that ship, being thrown overboard. He couldn't get away from the presence of God. But let's look now at another purchase, this time in Matthew chapter 25. We sang about it in the gospel hymn. Again, it's not my intention to go over the whole story, but I'll read one verse. Matthew 25, it's the first book in the New Testament, and verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Well, I think that many of us know the story. There were these 10 virgins. They were all invited to go to this wedding. And five were wise and five were foolish. But the five who were foolish, they didn't have oil in their lamps. And they didn't bother getting oil for their lamps. They just sort of wasted their time. And if you read back a little further there, in the fifth verse, it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. I suppose they thought there was no real reason to rush or hurry to get the oil for their lamps, and so they put it off. And you know, tonight, dear friend, you might be here and you say, well, I know that perhaps it's important to make a decision, but I have lots of time. I'm young, and I can wait till I'm on my deathbed, or I can wait till I'm 65 or 70 before I make a decision. Well, we find here that these virgins here, they all slumbered and slept. They didn't take seriously that the bridegroom was coming. And you know, the Lord Jesus has told us in His Word that He's going to come, and He's going to take all the believers to be with Himself. And He says, behold, I come quickly. And we know that time is drawing very, very near. There's a day coming when the Lord Jesus is going to say, come up hither. And every believer is going to be caught up to be with Him. But you know, the time to be saved is now, because we don't know when He's going to give that shout. Well, we find here in this 10th verse, it says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They finally neglected to the point where they decided they would go out and buy, but the bridegroom came. And what does it say? They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. You know, there's tragic finality with that expression, isn't there? The door was shut. Dear friend, tonight the door is open. God is offering salvation to whosoever will. All you have to do is accept that you are a sinner. All you have to do is acknowledge before God that you're unworthy and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, believing that He died on the cross and shed His blood. That's all you have to do. But are you going to be like these these virgins, these foolish virgins who neglected to buy oil until the door was shut? Oh, friend, the door is open tonight. It might be shut before this gospel meeting is over. Will you not take Jesus as your Savior? You know, we sang that little hymn, that 22nd hymn. Oh, sinner, ere it be too late, flee thou to mercy's open gate. Well, come to Jesus tonight, before it is forever too late. Well, here we have what we might call the tardy purchase. Yes, they intended to buy oil for their lamps, but they put it off. It was a tardy purchase. So we have with Jonah, a useless person trying to get away from God. These people, they put off the purchase of the oil, and they were left outside the door. So let's look now at another one, this time in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And here we have what we might call a careless purchase. Again, we'll just read a few verses. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Now I was thinking particularly of the 19th verse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, I pray thee, have me excused. Well, we find here a man who made a great supper. I suppose the Lord Jesus had before him some great man. No doubt he's a picture of God himself. And he has prepared this supper. Some have said, you know, the supper was the very last meal of the day. It was the very last opportunity. And people were invited to come. And we find that this farmer, he was invited. And, you know, he didn't seem to want to come. You know, I've often told this story before, but my wife and I, we were over in England several years ago, and I was on exchange over there as a teacher, and one day I got an invitation in the mail, and I was quite taken aback. It said, the Lord Chamberlain invites Mr. and Mrs. Stanley Allen on behalf of Queen Elizabeth II to attend a garden party at Buckingham Palace. Well, I must say when I got that, I was sort of overwhelmed. But do you think we just took that invitation and threw it in the garbage? Or just put it up on a shelf and forgot about it? No. We were very happy to go to Buckingham Palace and there meet the Queen. Well, you know, someone far greater than the Queen of England has invited you to a supper. He's invited you to obtain salvation. And we find here that this farmer, he was invited to this great supper. And he said, I'm sorry, but I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go and prove them. Please have me excused. Now, you know, there was nothing wrong with going and buying 5 yoke of oxen. He was no doubt needing them for plowing and for carrying heavy loads or whatever it was. But you know, the problem was his priorities. He put his oxen ahead of accepting this invitation. And so, you know, there are many people that have heard the gospel and they recognize that perhaps they should accept the invitation to come to Jesus, but they're too busy. Perhaps they're involved with their business. Or perhaps they're involved with their sports or whatever it happens to be. And they simply put it off and they say, well, maybe a little later. Thank you very much. And no doubt there were many people right here in Montreal who were handed an invitation in the last 3 or 4 days. And many probably said, well, you know, it'd be nice to go, but I've got a party tonight or I've got this to do and so on. They all make excuses. And I want to say, dear friend, if you've accepted the invitation to come here tonight, we appreciate it. But you know, more than that, God has offered you an invitation. He's offered you an invitation of eternal life. You know, we often forget that we're only here for a very short time. You know, I have to say that I'm coming up, I'm in my 70th year now. I can hardly believe it. It seems like yesterday that I was with our brother Ken Harmon here and Norm Hebert at Otter Lake, and I was 15 years old. And it just seems like yesterday. Life goes by in a second. But dear friend, you have a soul that's going to live for eternity, for eternity. Here, this man, he was concerned about his business that was going to last for maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years, but he was neglecting his soul. God was offering him an invitation to come to this supper. He neglected it. Dear friend, are you neglecting the issue of your soul being saved for some small thing in this world that's only going to last for a moment? Well, you know, another thing about this man, he not only made the excuse not to go, but he said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must needs go and prove them. In other words, he didn't even check to see whether these oxen were worthwhile buying or not. He went ahead and bought them. Now he had to go and prove them. What a foolish thing to do. How many of us would go out and buy a car, and after we buy it, go and find out whether or not we should have bought it? You think that we would check it out first and then buy it? So this man here, he made us an excuse that was really quite foolish. And so I say here, this was a careless purchase. Well, let's go on now to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And I don't intend to keep you very long here tonight. And again, we're only going to read a verse. And this is a Roman soldier, a captain, and he's speaking to Paul. And notice what he says in verse 28. The chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Well, here we have now another purchase. This Roman soldier, he had purchased his citizenship, his Roman citizenship. And it was a very costly purchase. I like to think of this as a costly purchase. Why would the Roman soldier want to buy his Roman citizenship? Well, you know, back in those days, if you weren't a Roman citizen, someone could come knocking on your door, arrest you, take you off to prison, dump you there, and leave you there for the rest of your life. In other words, a Roman citizen could not be arrested without a fair trial. And he couldn't be scourged without good reason. And so this Roman soldier felt it was very important for him to purchase his Roman citizenship so he couldn't be taken away and put in prison without a trial. And it cost him a great deal of money. And so this Roman soldier then, he was telling Paul that he says, with a great sum obtain I this freedom. And I want to say tonight that it's very important to realize that we cannot purchase our own freedom. You know, you might say, well, I'm not a slave. I don't have to purchase my freedom from that. I don't have to purchase myself from a tyrannical government. I enjoy the privileges of Canadian citizenship. I'm not interested in any other citizenship. But you know something? God tells us that we're holden with the cords of our sins. In other words, you might think you're free tonight, but you're really not. You're holden with the cords of your sins. God tells us there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And dear friend, it's so important to realize that we're sinners. We cannot purchase our freedom. We cannot be delivered from these sinful bodies that we have without the Lord Jesus. And you know, if we really want freedom, how do we get it? You know, our brother this afternoon, he quoted that verse that I was thinking of. It says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's only one that can release you from your sins, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever come to Him? Do you realize that he can free you? I know a man in our town, I won't mention his name, but before he was saved, I knew him by his reputation. He was a womanizer. He stole money from the local dairy. And I knew these things. I heard about it through various people in the town. But you know, one day that man phoned me up and he said, "Mr. Allen, I want to tell you something. I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." I tell you, I almost fell off my chair when I heard it. To think that this man who I had heard about so many times had accepted Jesus as his Savior. And you know something? He was totally delivered from that life that he once held. And he delighted to go around and tell people about the Lord Jesus and how he had been delivered. And oh, I want to say to you tonight, dear friend, there's someone who can deliver you from your bad habits, from your sin. He just simply wants you to come to him and acknowledge that you're a sinner and take him as your personal Savior. And so we find here this Roman soldier. He obtained his freedom and it cost him a great sum of money. But I want to say something else. There's one person who can deliver you. We've said it. It's the Lord Jesus. And you know something? It cost him his life. It doesn't cost you anything to come to him, but it cost him his life. He had to go to Calvary. And there in those 3 hours of darkness, he took all that judgment that you deserved and that I deserved so that we could become free. Well, he's asking you tonight to come to him. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, let's go on now to another purchase, this time in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, and I like to think of this one as a loving purchase, and we'll just read from verse 43. "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph." And it's this verse I was thinking of. "And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock. Rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre." Well, here is a man whom God had touched. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. He was a very rich man. And you know, he had come to know the Lord. And no doubt he felt terrible of what had happened that afternoon. As he looked there on that cross and saw the broken body of the Lord Jesus hanging there, in shame, dead on that cross. And you know, God put it into his heart to go and purchase some fine linen. So with a heavy heart, he must have gone and he purchased this fine linen. Why? That he might wrap the body of Jesus. You know, it was a very fitting thing to wrap the body of that blessed one who hung on that cross. Why? Well, that fine linen, you know, was clean and white, the Bible tells us. And certainly it speaks of who that person was that hung on the cross. He was God himself who had come down into this world to proclaim salvation. What happened? He was rejected. He was spit upon. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They said, "Away with him, crucify him." And yet that blessed one, he knew no sin. He did no sin, and in him was no sin. And yet this world wanted to get rid of him. And here was Joseph of Arimathea. He takes that fine linen and he wraps the body. And you know, we know that he was placed there in that tomb, and this giant stone was rolled across the door. I want to say to you, it's very impressive to go to Israel and see that stone. It's very large, I suppose, as tall as I am, giant wheel that was rolled across in front of the door. And you know, the Romans, I would take, they took cement or something and they sealed the door so that stone would not move again. And they said, that's the end. We'll never see that man again. He's gone. But I want to just have you turn now to the 24th of Luke for a moment, where this fine linen is mentioned again. Luke chapter 24, and we'll just read one verse, verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. Just think, this seal, sepulchre had been sealed on Friday. Peter comes on Lord's Day morning, very early in the morning, and what does he find? The stone has been rolled away. He stoops down, he looks in the sepulchre, and he sees those linen clothes just lying there. And no body. What had happened? Oh, the wonderful thing of the gospel. Jesus not only died on the cross, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He broke the power of death. Oh, I want to say here tonight, dear friend, that every one of us are going to die one day if the Lord doesn't come. We'll be buried. And you know, I think there's only two people in the Bible that ever rose from the dead, and that was Enoch and Elijah. Rose from the dead. They were raised from the dead. Or at least they went to heaven without dying, I should say. That's what I'm sorry, I'm getting confused here. But anyway, man dies. Enoch and Elijah, they went to heaven without dying. That's what I wanted to say. But here, the Lord Jesus, he rose from the dead. And I want to say tonight that I am proclaiming to you a living Savior. A Savior that's high on the in the glory. He looks down here tonight. He sees every one of us. He's a living Savior. And he's offering you salvation tonight. Will you receive it? He says, as we said before, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you not come to him, accept him as your Savior? Well, we find here that Jesus rose from the dead, and now he's on high in the glory. Well, here we find then Joseph of Arimathea, he made that loving purchase. Well, let's look now at the greatest purchase, this time in Matthew chapter 13. I think you know what verse I'm going to read here. The greatest purchase, Matthew 13 and verse 46. We'll read verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, here is the greatest purchase that was ever made. Who is the merchant man who sold, who found this pearl of great price? It's the Lord Jesus. He looked down on this world and he saw men and women, boys and girls that he desired to have with him in the glory for all eternity. And in order to have them, he had to sell all that he had. Can we comprehend the cost? Can we measure it in dollars and cents? No, we can't. That purchase was so great, none of us can comprehend it. And yet the Lord Jesus, he sold all that he had to purchase us, to have us with himself for all eternity. You know, sometimes when we make a purchase, we have to consider the cost. Maybe it's a car or something, and it's going to cost us a lot of money, and we have to give it some very serious consideration. Well, the Lord, he certainly counted the cost. It tells us in Matthew that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And you know, he said, if it be possible, he's speaking to his Father, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. No, the Lord knew exactly what it was going to cost. And yet he didn't shirk what his Father wanted him to do. It says, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written to me to do thy will, O my God. And so the Lord Jesus, he went on to the cross. And there he made that greatest purchase in those 3 hours of darkness. You know, I've enjoyed the thought that when he made that purchase, he was under the cover of darkness. Why was it that God shut out the light for those 3 hours? When the Lord Jesus was purchasing us, taking that judgment that we deserved, why did he do it? Oh, it's because he couldn't allow man to view the transaction that was taking place. In those 3 hours, Jesus took upon him all that judgment that I deserved. Why is it that I'm going to heaven someday? I know I'm going. Why? Because Jesus took the judgment that I deserve. He took the punishment. And everyone here in this room that has put their trust in Jesus, their sins are forgiven them because he has taken the punishment. Oh, dear friend, tonight, will you ask him to save you? If you do, you'll know that that sin question has been settled and that you are free now and on your way to the glory. All you have to do is bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I accept you as my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross to put away my sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleans us from all sin. Well, the Lord Jesus, he purchased us with his own blood. And you know, I enjoy that verse that we have in Isaiah 55. I'll just read it briefly. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I want to say tonight, you can accept the offer of salvation without money. We're not here to ask for money. God doesn't want your money. But the Lord Jesus, he paid the price with his own blood to purchase you and me that we could be with him for all eternity. That was the greatest purchase. Well, there's only one other purchase I want to mention. This time in Genesis chapter 44. Some people might be wondering just what purchase this is going to be, but I'm going back to the story of Jacob. We all know the story of how there was a famine back in this day, and Jacob and his sons, they were living in the land of Israel. There was no food to eat. They were on the verge of starvation. They had gone down to Egypt to see the governor, and little did they realize that the governor of Egypt was the very son of Jacob that his sons had sold as a slave into Egypt. And so we find here that the brothers, they had gone down to Egypt, they had purchased food from the governor, who was their brother. They didn't recognize him. And they came back and told their father that they were able to purchase the food. But time went by and the famine still was bad. There was no rain. And Jacob, what's he say? Notice here the 25th verse of Genesis 44. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. That's what they wanted. A little more food, just enough to keep body and soul together a little bit longer, as long as this this famine continued. But you know, little did they realize the heart of Joseph. Joseph was their long-lost brother that they had sold as a slave into Egypt. They didn't recognize him. And you know, Joseph there, he had power, he had riches, he had everything. And he knew exactly who his brothers were. And here were his brothers coming to get a little bit of food. But let's look at the 45th chapter for a moment and just read a few verses. Verse 18 of chapter 45. Read verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, take unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts, go get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come, and regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave, each man, changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn, and bread and meat for his father, and by the way. Why did I read all those verses? Well, you know, this I would call a purchase refused. Here was Jacob saying to the boys, you go down to Egypt, you get some food for us to keep us alive a little bit longer. They go down there, they offer the money to Joseph. Does he take it? No, he doesn't take it. You know, Joseph was the great giver. He didn't want the brothers' money. Instead, what did he do? He offered them wagons. He offered them 10 changes of raiment, and to Benjamin, 300 pieces of silver. In other words, he was the bountiful giver. He wanted to give. He didn't want to receive. He didn't want their money. And I want to say tonight that God is not just interested in saving your soul from eternal hell. You know, every one of us here tonight who don't know the Lord as your Savior, it means to spend an eternity in hell. It's a solemn thing. But God is not just interested in delivering your soul from hell. Jesus died on the cross to put away your sins and to bring you into a place of blessing so that you could be with Him for all eternity. That's what He wants. And that's what He's done. He's given us everything. He says in John chapter 14, we know the verses so well, He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, the Lord isn't content just to rescue you from hell. He wants to give you everything. He wants to look after you here in this life and then take you to be with Himself for all eternity. Oh, I want to tell you, as someone has said, He's an all-the-way-home Savior. And oh, tonight, dear friend, He's offering you salvation without money and without price. Will you come to Him? Will you accept Him as your personal Savior? Oh, He loves you. We often used to sing that little hymn. He loves you. He wants you. He died to redeem you. Only believe His word. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to buy. Remember that for you, He left His mansion in the sky. And now He's ready. He's willing. He's able to save you. Only believe His word. Oh, tonight, dear friend, come to Him. Accept Him as your personal Savior. We're going to pray. And you know, as we pray, just bow your head. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Ask Him to save you. And you know, if you don't really understand the gospel message, just stay behind and speak to someone. They'd be glad to help you. Let's just look to the Lord.